May the Lord help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 399 to tune St. Polycarp 405. Hymn number 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. When Sinai's awful thunder roll, and struck with terror all my soul, no gleam of comfort could I see, till Jesus was revealed to me. Hymn number 399 to tune St. Polycarp.
May the Lord help us to read this evening the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 36, and the first chapter in Ezra. The second book of the Chronicles, that's chapter 36, the last chapter, and then the first chapter in the book of Ezra. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with this, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridates, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shesbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shesbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. May the Lord own and bless the reading of his holy word. And may the Lord help us to pray. Most holy and eternal God, heaven is thy throne, earth is thy footstool. O, do solemnize our hearts and minds, and favour us to draw near to the throne of grace, to seek thy face by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, making our requests known, Lord, to thee. Oh, how poor and needy and completely dependent we are, dear Lord, upon thee. But we do pray that we might know this night the sacred sufficiency of thy grace, Lord Jesus, and the divine power of thy Holy Spirit, so that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, as thou doth require, dear Lord. We thank thee for this another opportunity, the week evening service, to gather together in the sanctuary of God for the purpose of the praise and the honour and the glory of thy great and holy and eternal and precious and sacred name, the name of Jesus, that precious name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Lord, may we bow in reverence and humility and godly fear this night. Help us to come before Thee in repentance and plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. O Lord, we do thank Thee for the sacred efficacy of Thy shed blood, Lord Jesus, that hath power to forgive sins. O Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt lead us this night a little into the great mystery of godliness, that God was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us. And may we be as one of old. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, and that we might be accepted in the Beloved, Thy well-beloved Son, in whom Thou art well pleased. To own and bless, Lord, the reading from Thy holy word, not only at this time, but at all times, both in public and in private. O Lord, do give to us some gracious, humble understanding of the truth as it is in Jesus, and that we might trace Thy dealings with us through the testimony of the truth that liveth and abideth forever, that we may have those waymarks and high hopes to testify that we are in that right way, that living way that leadeth to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem which is above. And so, Lord, do confirm Thy dear people, especially when they feel to be weary. Oh, grant those gracious confirmations, grant those gracious tokens and evidences that we are true disciples, following the meek and lowly Lamb, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we have an interest in the finished work of Christ, and that now Thou art our great High Priest in heaven's high courts above, there to represent us in the courts of bliss above, an advocate, one to plead our cause and our case, and make it completely good. For if any man sin, and Lord, we are all sinners, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Now, Lord, we pray for thy cause and interest here at Maidstone, thanking thee that they have been maintained and upheld and supported until now, that the word of thy grace is still read and preached according to the ordained means of the preaching of the gospel until the end of time. O Lord, do be with all those on the walls of Zion, watchmen as Ezekiel was. O Lord, do we pray thee, help us to declare the whole counsel of God. Help us, Lord, to speak whether man will hear or forbear. We live in a day, Lord, when men do not want to know or hear the truth of God. They want to hear anything but the word of God. But we thank thee, Lord, that there is a little remnant according to the election of grace, who love thy word, who feed upon it as the bread of life and the water of salvation, so that their hungering and thirst is graciously met from the provision of thy house. Lord, satisfy thy poor with bread this night. O Lord, may thy word come down as the rain, and distill as the dew upon our branch, upon our spirit, that our hearts might be softened and made receptive to the good seed, the uncorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Oh, the wonder, Lord, of the divine seeds of truth. May they enter their heart and bring forth fruit in due season. Paul preached, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. May there be spiritual increase and profit, Lord, in our hearts. We pray for each one gathered here this night, any unable to be here through lawful reasons or afflictive dispensations. We pray for each one and any friends that may listen in to the services on the chapel website. Lord, thou art able to use whatever means thou art pleased to use. Oh, may thy word then prosper in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. Remember, Lord, all the ministers that come here. Be with our dear friend here in his ministry, resident in this church. Be with him, Lord, in his going out and in his coming in. Be with him in his ministry here and also in other causes of truth. Help us, Lord, whether pastors or elders or itinerant ministers. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt crown thy gospel with success. Be with our dear friend as has the greater responsibility day by day of the cause, and help him, Lord, in his responsibility with the Bethesda homes as well. And we need, Lord, wisdom and God-given understanding to conduct all our matters in the fear of the Lord. And so remember all true lovers of Zion, all those who pray for the peace and prosperity of the Church of God on earth in her militant state. Lord, do preserve, protect and defend thy Church against the wiles of Satan, the deceitfulness of the devil, the beguiling influence of the world, and the corruption and violence of man in this sin-cursed world, reserved unto the day of destruction by fire. O Lord, in these fires that rage in different parts of the world, is it not, Lord, a speaking voice to mankind that the day will come when this world will be on fire, be destroyed by fire, and no power of man on earth will ever stop it? O Lord, these fires then are an evidence of that fire that will come and destroy this world. Help us, Lord, to watch and pray and to wait for thy second coming, when thou, Lord, wilt come in all thy glory and all the holy angels with thee. And now, Lord, do help us to pray one for another in affliction, in bereavement, in trial and sorrow and grief. Oh, the path of tribulation, Lord, is all known to thee that thy people walk in. Oh, do grant, Lord, that needful grace and strength equal to the day, and to know, as the apostle did, my grace is sufficient for thee. Help me, Lord, to speak. May there be a thus saith the Lord. And bless the singing of each hymn this evening. May there be honour and glory brought to God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And may our souls be blessed and favoured under the tenor of thy word. Lord, we ask all these mercies, favours, blessings, with the forgiveness of our every sin, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 241 to the tune Farrant 142. Hymn number 241. Repentance is a gift bestowed to save a soul from death. gospel repentance towards God is always joined to faith. Not for an hour or day or week do saints repentance own, but all the time the Lord they seek. At sin they grieve and groan. Hymn number 241 to the tune Farrant 142.
Thank you.
As the Lord shall be pleased to help me this evening, dear friends, I would ask you to turn with me to the 29th chapter in Jeremiah. Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 29, and we read verses 10 and 11. The 10th and 11th verses in the 29th chapter in the prophecy by Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now in this chapter, dear friends, we have the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This indeed was then a wonderful testimony of divine truth spoken to them by the Lord, or through by the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, as we know, is termed and called the weeping prophet, and he had so much to make him weep. He was sent of God to warn, to give reproof and to give rebuke to the Lord's people of old in his day, who were not walking according to the commands and precepts of God, but were serving Baal and committing those things which are an abomination unto God. And the Lord, through his prophet, told them, warned them, that if they continued in that way and manner, then the solemn judgment of God would fall upon them, and they would be taken into captivity. He testified of the bondage, the servitude, the captivity that they would be brought into due to their sin. And sin, friends, always brings the displeasure of God upon his people. God must deal with sin because he is God. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. He gave his laws and his commands and his precepts to be kept and not to be trampled underfoot, not to be disregarded or contemned. They contemned the counsel of the Lord, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. That word in the 107th Psalm, contemn, means to treat with disrespect, not to heed what God has said. And friends, they did it to their peril and so do we. Because you see, the ungodly, those who are not the Lord's people, the heathen, they do not have the benefit of the blessing of the Word of God. And friends, it's the same in our land. There are many born in this land who are totally ignorant of God's Word. And there's no way that they're taught, either by their parents or their grandparents, or any religious education at school. They're destitute, friends, of the knowledge of God. Now, God's people are not like that. They have the benefit of the truth. The gospel is preached, the Bible is read, and in the home, the parents bring before the children the Word of God. There are Sunday schools, there are the services of the sanctuary, and all this is to teach and instruct with regard to what God requires. And so in that sense, we are without excuse, because we have the benefit of the testimony of the written Word of God. And friends, let us value it and prize it, because it's eternal truth. Now I know that just the letter of the truth will not save. It's not salvation. It's sound instruction. It's good counsel. It's needful in life. But I do believe this, and the scriptures testify this, where this is the case, then the Lord will apply His Word with power. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, the Word of God came not in word only. It did, but not word only. It came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance in their souls. And friends, you see, the Lord's people of old had the benefit. They had the prophet to speak to them and testify of truth. But they disregarded His Word. They mocked the prophets. They misused them. But they did it to their peril. And chapter 25 to 28 speaks of a solemn judgment that God will send to His ancient people. And of course it was fulfilled, and they were carried away into captivity. Now I read the chapter this evening in the Chronicles, because there you see we have a year count, how they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people. There was no remedy, friends. What a solemn state to be in. There's no remedy. What a terrible state. Oh, I hope none of us are in that place where there's no remedy for the malady of our sin. But there was no remedy here for deliverance at this time. And so Nebuchadnezzar came, and the captain of the guard, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it is, and you see, what did he do? Burnt the house of God. Break down the wall of Jerusalem. Burnt all the palaces thereof with fire. And destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. Oh, friends, what a sad and solemn day. The temple at Jerusalem that Solomon built, and all the beauty of it and the glory of it, as you read of in the Kings. And you see, it was a settled place of worship for God's people, where His people had to go three times a year and worship God and keep the feast of Passover, of Pentecost, and the Feast of Weeks. Friends, they had to keep those feasts three times a year. The Lord Jesus was taken by Mary and Joseph to keep the Feast of Passover. And so, dear friends, it was a sad and solemn day. The enemy came and destroyed all those good things and then took them away into a heathen land. Oh, friends, and there in Babylon, what did they do? By the rivers of Babylon, we wept when we remembered Zion. And friends, under the chastening hand of God, the Lord's dear people weep in consideration of their spiritual condition before the Lord dealt with them by the rivers of Babylon in a foreign land. They wept when they remembered Jerusalem, the house of God, the benefits and blessings there under Solomon the king, and the services. Oh, friends, the wonderful dedication service and the services there. And now it's all lost. And there they are in a foreign land. They hung their harps on the willows. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? This, friend, is a brief summary of the background of what took place owing to the sins of God's people. What a solemn thing, friend, not to heed the word of God. The Lord's servants preach. We don't preach ourselves, friends. We preach the truth as it is in Jesus. And friends, it behoves all to heed that word. Because that word is true, and that word will prevail. And God the Father has committed into the hands of Jesus Christ all judgment. The judgment of God is according to truth. And now God the Father has committed judgment into the hands of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, he knows all things. The Lord knows all things. He knows everything. And that's why the judgment of God is according to truth. And that's why it's right judgment. It can never be wrong. Because the evidence is there. The Lord sees it. The Lord knows it. The Lord hears it. You see, naturally, if one is charged with some crime or guilt, then they have to go before a court. And then you've got the lawyers to prosecute. And then you've got the lawyers who defend. And then you've got the jury to hear the case. And the facts are presented before the court. And then the jury have to make a decision on the evidence that is brought before them in that court. Well, friends, the Lord knows all things. Sometimes there's been a miscarriage of justice with men. There have been miscarriages of justice. But there's no miscarriage of justice with the Lord. Because his knowledge is complete, total. And his judgment is according to truth. And it was here. Now the other thing, dear friends, is this. They were his people. They were his people. So he must chastise them. He must chastise them. Because the Lord has said that he will judge his people. And so, chastening under the hand of God is a testimony that they are the Lord's dear people. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? So, dear friends, this word then in our text is a part of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent to them. And you see, they were to build houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them and to take wives and begat sons and daughters and so on, and to seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive, and to pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In other words, they weren't to rebel against God. They were to submit under his hand of chastening. They were going to be in captivity for a long time. So there is an order given them of how to conduct themselves, to pray, friends, for the place they were in, Babylon. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. You see, there's divine instruction, friends. And sometimes under the chastening hand of God, human nature rises up and says, it's not fair, it's not right, it's unjust. Friends, the thing is to be quiet under the chastening hand of God, because God in his mercy spake. And what did he say? Thus saith the Lord. Here's the divine authority of heaven. The authority of heaven. Now we have in our reading this evening, we have the authority of Cyrus, king of Persia. We have the authority, we read of it. But friends, this is a greater authority. It's the authority of Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of the skies. Now what does the Lord say? That after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. What a wonderful promise it was given them by God, that there would be a day of deliverance. There would be a day when they would return from where they came. And you know, dear friends, they went back vastly different than they came into captivity under that chastening hand of God. They returned, that is the first colony of exiles, they returned under the leadership of Zerubbabel. Well, of course, the heavenly Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And their return was good. And there were many of them, friends. That word in chapter 31 speaks about, I will bring them from the north country, and of course that was Babylon, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. A great company. How great was it? Well, it was nearly 50,000 that came back with Zerubbabel. Well over 49,000. And they came back to, they were brought back to Jerusalem. And then they built the altar, they restored the true worship of God. No idolatry now, friends. No idolatry now. The worship of the true God of Israel. And then they laid the foundation of the temple, rebuilt the temple. And, well, it was the Lord's restoring mercies They were led back under that leadership of that godly man. And you can read of this, of course, in chapter 31. But it so struck me, a great company. And when you look at the numbers that are recorded in the Word of God, I believe it was 49,600, almost 50,000. And then, of course, later, the residue of the exiles were brought back under the leadership of Ezra. And there again, it was a good return. The exercise of soul in Ezra's heart to bring the people back in a gracious, godly, God-honoring way. And amidst the dangers of the way, friends, it took 4 months to return. The Lord kept them safe. The Lord preserved them. The Lord protected them. They were coming back to the city of truth. Now, our text really is this. It's a gracious, God-given promise in their captivity that the Lord would appear. Now, you can relate this, of course, to soul adversity, but you can relate it also to the Church of God in her militant state, because you see Jeremiah in his lamentation speaks very much concerning Zion, the Church of the Living God. And he says that the ways of Zion do mourn. And friends, we live in a day when the ways of Zion do mourn. Few come to her solemn face. All her gates are desolate, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Oh, friends, held up the city, sit solitary, that was full of people. You see, the lamentation was regarding the Church of God, Zion, and that's the lamentation, friend, today. There's only one way, friends, for restoration. Repentance, you sung of it. Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, pleading His promise, walking according to truth. This is the way back, friends. This is where the Lord will honour. And so it can be known in your soul, adversity, but also, friends, in the Church of God. Because if the Lord's people are afflicted in adversity in their soul, this will have a bearing, of course, in the Church of God. Because the kingdom of God's grace, firstly, is in our hearts, and then, unitedly, in Zion. So, dear friends, what a mercy it was that the Lord gave to them this divine promise after 70 years. Oh, friends, under the... You see, what was set before us, I believe, is this. Under that chastening, they had long years to remember their sin. A sobering thought, friends, isn't it? I thought of David in this, when he's prayed to God, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Don't remember, Lord, don't remember, dear, my sins of my youth. And you may have to say the same, friends. Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. And the Lord's hand upon you for your sin. And maybe a lengthy season. Will the Lord never appear? Will the Lord never heal? Will the Lord never pardon? Will the Lord never forgive? After 70 years, be accomplished. The Lord has a set time in Zion, a set time to favour Zion. And friends, these times are decreed and determined by God. You read of it in the Ecclesiastes chapter 3, all the different times. And spiritually considered. And so, dear friends, this was their hope in the die of adversity. Weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. But then, dear friends, the Lord gave them this word to cause them to hope. And is there not a word, friends, in your heart the Lord gave to you and caused you to hope, to save you from death, destruction and despair? So after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, in captivity, in servitude, in a foreign land. Oh, how sad, oh, how sad it was. We wept when we remembered Zion. I'm sure there's a few of the Lord's dear people weeping today. Weeping today for Zion, the church of the living God. Well, dear friends, the Lord has said, I will visit you. I will visit you. And friends, that's what we need, the Lord to visit us and to perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. This was their hope, friends. This was what they, an anchor of their soul. This is what they could plead. This is what they could hope in. And friends, in adversity, you need an anchor, you need a word upon which to hope. Oh, David said, did he not, in the 119th Psalm, the word that thou hast given me to be my hope in the day of affliction. And we need a word, friends, from the Lord. We need a word to plead, to cleave unto, so that we have a hope, not in a hopeless condition, but a hope, this truth to rejoice in. The Lord will appear. But he comes at his appointed time. You can take the cases of various godly saints in Scripture. Oh, look at dear Joseph. Oh, friends, how he had to wait. How he had to wait. The waiting time was long. But the word of the Lord tried him, friend. He had a word from the Lord, yes, but it tried him, because it hadn't been fulfilled. But he believed it would. But all the years of waiting, friend. But he didn't wait in vain, did he? No, he didn't wait in vain. The day came, friends, when Pharaoh said, send and fetch him. Send and fetch him. Bring him up hastily out of prison. Change his prison raiment and shave and shave and stand before me. Speedily, quickly, in haste. The day came when the Lord appeared. No waiting then, friends. He'd waited years, and now the time had come for the Lord to appear. And what a blessed appearance it was, wasn't it? What a wonderful time it was. Well, friends, it's the same for the Lord's people today. Oh, the word of the Lord will try you. But that's your pleading, then, you've nothing else. Now you see in that dear godly man Joseph, one imperfection, one deficiency. And that deficiency, friends, is in your heart and mine as well. And what was that? Under this waiting, under this period of trying dispensation, how trying it was, what did he do? He trusted in a man. He trusted in a man. And he said to the butler, think on me when it is well with me and bring me out of this prison. Think on me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Trusted in the butler, friend. What did the butler do? Forgot all about him. And that's man, friends, to die. If you trust in man, friends, I can assure you of this, he'll forget you. Forget you. The butler was delivered and he forgot all about dear Joseph. And that's the heart of man today. Selfish. Self first. Self second. Self all the time. Forgot all about him. But God hadn't forgotten him. Now, friends, what's the answer? Trust in him. At all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's the way, friends. But fallen nature is so impatient. Can't wait. Ah, but the Lord puts you into trial, friends, when you can't do anything. But wait upon the Lord. And that's just what they had to do in Babylon. But friends, they didn't wait in vain. Oh, this is a wonder. And you see, the good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Well, dear Jeremiah, you see, in chapter 30 and 31, oh, he brings before them this return. And what a good return, and it blessed return and it was. So, dear friends, you see, the good word toward you. Has the Lord given you a good word, friends? And that's your hope. That's your pleading ground. You have to plead it before the Lord continually. And say, Lord, thou didst say. Thou didst speak to me. Lord, do help me to hold on my way in causing you to return to this place. The place of truth, the place of worship, the place of fellowship, union, oneness. The Lord, friends, is in Jerusalem. It's the city of truth. The Lord is there, Zion its name. Oh, this is to return to this place. And then the Lord comforts their heart. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What was the expected end? To be brought back to Jerusalem. That was the expected end. And what's your expectation, friend? The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. The expectation of the Lord's dear people is to be brought back to Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, to be brought to eternal glory. That's the expectation of the righteous, to give you an expected end. And so in this captivity, the Lord had not forgotten that. No. And friends, the Lord doesn't forget us. No. He does not forget us. The word of God is very clear. The thoughts of God has a sacred, glorious heart and mind, and there are his thoughts toward his people. And our thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now why is this? What's the secret here? You might say, well, the Lord's people, did they deserve the Lord's favour in this? Thoughts of peace? Friends, we're not worthy, but Jesus Christ is worthy of all honour, glory, dominion, might and power. And the Lord has thoughts of peace toward his people for Jesus' sake. He cannot, the Lord Jesus. And in the Godhead you have the three glorious persons, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, and now one. And here, Christ can never forget his people. Never. Why is that? Because of what they cost him. That's why. It's for a little while the Lord can never forget his church and people. What they cost him. Suffering. Death. Graven on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. These are the thoughts of peace. Thoughts of love. Thoughts of compassion. Because they're his people. Oh, he chose them by electing love and mercy before the foundation of the world. He gave his precious life for them. Oh, this is why, friends. His thoughts are toward you under his chastening hand. What a mercy that is. What a blessing it is. The Lord doesn't forget. But thoughts of peace toward you. Toward you. The wonder of it. Now, friends, you see, the thoughts that I have. Every thought that proceeds from the heart of God is pure, is good, is holy, is wonderful. You see, friends, this is the wonder of God's thought. They're beautiful, they're holy and just, they're loving thoughts. Now the thoughts from the hearts of God's people sometimes are not good. You go back before the flood and God said he had drowned the world. Why? Because of the imagination of man's heart, which is only evil continually. Imagination. Evil thoughts. Now then, what did Paul say concerning Jesus Christ? He said to the Hebrews in their affliction, in their persecution, he said to them, consider him, consider Christ. In your distress and affliction, you consider the Lamb of God. And what is consideration? It's the total opposite to imagination. It's good thoughts that come from your heart to Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, these wonderful thoughts. And they're toward his dear people. So we're not forgotten, friends. The Lord's people are not forgotten. No, they're remembered. Zion saith, the Lord hath forsaken us. That's what Zion said. But the Lord didn't say that. No. Oh, the wonder then. I've graven me on the palms of my hands. I was a continually the Lord hadn't forsaken his people. No, he hasn't forsaken us, friends, has he? No, he hasn't forsaken us. No, there's still a little remnant according to the election of Christ. His Spirit remains amongst us. Oh, the life of God is still in our soul. We still seek him by prayer. We still preach the gospel. We still meet in his name. Oh, these are great blessings, friends. They are indeed. And so, oh, these precious thoughts. How precious are the thoughts, the hymn writer said, which the Lord thinks upon his people. So, friends, may this be a comfort to you in your tribulation. The Lord is thinking upon you. He hasn't forgotten you to give you an expected end. Eternal glory, to be brought back to the city of truth. Oh, friends, what wonderful consolation there is amidst the solemn judgments of God. David said, I will sing of mercy and of judgment. Well, dear friends, the time has gone this evening. Oh, may the word of His grace have free course and be glorified. And then you see there's just one further thing here. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, finding God in prayer. Oh, friends, what a favour. Well, may the Lord be with us and encourage us from His word and help us in our return journey to Jerusalem. Amen.
May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 89 to tune St. Catherine 793. Hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. But lo, the second Adam came, the serpent's subtle head to bruise. He cancels his malicious claim and disappoints his devilish views, ransoms poor sinners with his blood, and brings the sinner back to God. We'll commence at verse 2, hymn number 89 to tune St. Catherine 793.
Thank you.
Comfort and consolation to thy dear people in their adversities. And now, dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us these journeying mercies in peace and safety. We would also offer prayer, dear Lord, on behalf of the editor, who has been and is still unwell, and pray, Lord, thy healing mercies to be bestowed upon him, that he may be enabled to resume his labours in measure, in due time, God willing. And now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.